This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, Jimmy out talking with Paul Stone. It is time for the NCAA basketball tournament. We're going to focus on the Friday games, Paul, and we've had a couple of days to sleep on the selection committee and the seeding, and boy, they are an easy target for this one. So I love how the chair of the selection committee goes, oh, as soon as the bid was stolen, it was so tough. Man, take the last team in, out. I mean, how tough is that? But anyway, I mean, and doesn't it just seem like they take Joe Lenardi's 64 and just swap one in and one out? You know, this 2 year was Oklahoma and Virginia. But nonetheless, there were way more bid stealers. And, hey, a little bit of an element of handicapping. Like, when that race is over, look back at the racing form. What did you miss? What did you learn? And I think with Kansas sitting players, Houston early in the second half, sitting their key players and just, you know, waving a white flag in the Big 12 final, and some others that just we can't prove it, but just seem to not have the energy and the focus and the intensity that maybe playing for a championship. It's a little bit of minor bowl element in college football in handicapping championship week. So keep that in mind, because this just wasn't coincidental all across the country with so many one seeds losing and teams, you know, five. I mean, the damn Wolfpack won more games than the Wizards in that building this year. So, I mean, it was just wild. But the seedings are set. It's out. Give us some sleepers or maybe some teams that are seeded high to sort of stay away, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll kind of look at this, Jimmy, from the standpoint of let's omit the number one seed, because that's chalk. That's low-hanging fruit. And I'm going to give some teams that are not on the one line to look at in each of these regions just briefly. In the West, I've kind of been, you know, touting them all year, so I'm not going to get off those Baylor Bears at this point. They're number three seed in the West. I don't think we've seen the best of Baylor for this season to this point. So I think Baylor could make some noise in that West region. And then moving to the East, I think perhaps the most underseeded team in the entire field is the Auburn Tigers, seeded number four. They obviously finished the regular season and the tournament season with a flurry. The metrics, there's some metrics that kind of predict teams that could be a potential NCAA tournament champion. Auburn ranks very high in that category, so I like Auburn as the fourth seed in the East. And then in the South, I think this is the region, Jimmy, that we could see a team emerge from back in the pack to make the Final Four. I think the top four seeds all have some vulnerability. You've got Houston, first of all, the top seed with some injury issues. Marquette, is Tyler Colic fully healthy? They say he's going to play. That has yet to be seen, but how effective will he be if he's healthy? Kentucky, the three seed, very inconsistent. Their best is very good. When they're off their game, they can be beaten by about anybody. And then Duke at the four seed, I think that's an overseeded team. I like Texas A&M, perhaps, in the South as the nine seed. They were picked second, if we remember, in the SEC preseason media poll. And then in the Midwest, I'm going to go a little more chalky here. I think Rick Barnes exercises his NCAA tournament demons of the past, if you will. And I like number two seed there, Tennessee.
Yeah, A&M, we talked about it, 14-team league. And SEC was very good this year. And A&M was one of the biggest disappointments in all of college basketball and kept losing. We're like, how are they still in the bubble? And then they caught fire, and they started scoring as well. So we know they have athleticism. We know, how they, you know, the roster is, you know, is talented. And Buzz Peterson, who's gotten two different teams to the Sweet 16, is trying to get there again. So A&M, interesting. No doubt Auburn is underseeded. Are you going to use the net at all? I mean, if you're top five any team, you're hot. And you wonder how much, and that's why I think even next year it's going to be more exaggerated with sort of the teams that seeding is set to kind of not emphasize life or death in those conference tournaments, because you get nothing for, I mean, Auburn, you can't have that tournament. I mean, they outscored their three opponents in the SEC, which were three tournament teams, by like 75 points. I mean, and they're still as a four seed in the clear number one, overall number one UConn's bracket. So always easy to pick apart this the selection committee. Let's get to the games. We're going to go chronologically here on Friday games, and let's start with Battle of Guards. And, you know, Paul, we talked about teams to watch. Northwestern was one of my teams, and you said caution now. They did lose that guard, one of their guards, over 40% three-point shooter for the season. But Grand Canyon, Northwestern, and New Mexico, three teams we said to look for, are all in the tournament. Well, Florida Atlantic's got a good guard as well. And the billion-dollar question for Florida Atlantic, were they coasting and waiting for this spot? A Final Four team that returned everybody, including their coach, but they have been a team to fade this year. Disinterested sometimes over the course of the schedule. Florida Atlantic is a 2.5-point favorite right now, Bet Rivers, over the Northwestern Wildcats. And it's John L. Davis and Abu Bui, the great backcourt matchup here.
Yeah, you know, Florida Atlantic, obviously last season's Cinderella and the Big Dance, advanced all the way to the Final Four. Lost to San Diego State in the semifinals on that buzzer beater, and that was a game that they led pretty much the whole way from start to finish. But I think the Owls might have gotten a few brownie points from last year's improbable run from the committee. I think they're overseeded at number eight, in my opinion. This is a team that we have to remember. I think they're quad four losses. They lost to Bryant in the non-conference as a 23.5-point favorite. They lost to Florida Gulf Coast in the non-conference as a 17.5-point favorite. And that was a long time ago, but that's still part of their overall resume, if you will. This is also a team in Florida Atlantic. They didn't win the regular season conference title in the American Athletic Conference, finished two games behind winner South Florida, and they obviously didn't win the conference tournament either. They were upset by Temple in the AAC tournament semifinals, lost to the Owls by 1 point as a 14-point favorite. So hadn't been very, they've lost a lot of games, rather I should say, as a large favorite. Meanwhile, they're facing a Northwestern team that finished 12-8 in the Big Ten, a pretty salty Big Ten. One of its top scorers, as you alluded to, Ty Berry, 11.6 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, lost to injury in early February. But the Wildcats, they're going to have the best player on the floor without question, in my opinion, on Friday, veteran guard Boo Booey. He's a jack of all trades. He impacts the game in all areas, if you will, leads Northwestern in scoring at 19.2 points per game, also averages 5.1 assists, 3.4 rebounds, and 1.3 steals. Boo Booey, a big-time player. Northwestern, they don't always play pretty. They certainly struggle to find offense in some games, but I'll take the Wildcats to not only cover the number, but to defeat Florida Atlantic outright on Friday. So I like Northwestern plus the 2.5 points over Florida Atlantic. The Wildcats get the outright win.
All right, we'll check that money line as well when we get a chance. Let's move on to Friday's schedule. Next game on the card is San Diego State and UAB. You want to talk about a Final Four team from a year ago that's getting a little bit too much carryover respect for this year? I think the Aztecs fall into that category as well. They lay in 6.5 against UAB, and Andy Kennedy, former Ole Miss coach, and he's got the big win was the South Florida win in the semifinals. So they knocked out South Florida. Got a tad chippy. I think there are about 17 technical fouls in that game. Guys were sitting on the bench left and right. But San Diego State, a lofty 6.5-point favorite here for the Blazers.
Yeah, I'm also obviously going to take a position, Jimmy, in this game against last year's other Cinderella team, San Diego State. And you pointed out the fact that, much like Florida Atlantic, I think the Aztecs are just a little bit overvalued coming into the tournament this year. They're only 10-8 straight up in their last 18 games, have failed to cover five of their last six games when cast as the betting favorite. And of those six games, have lost three of those outright. Earlier this month, I think some listeners probably watched that. I think it was a game on Sunday. Watched that game at Memphis. UAB races out to the 22-point lead late in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they just completely run out of gas, lose to the Tigers 106-87. But since that loss, which could have been, you know, devastating or at least some sort of a setback to their in-season goals, the Blazers have really been good. They've rebounded nicely. They've won and covered their past five games en route to winning the AAC tournament this past weekend in Fort Worth. UAB, important to point out because this is the role that they are in this Friday against San Diego State. UAB is the betting underdog when getting points, 11-2 against the spread. I think 6.5 points is just a tad too many. I like UAB plus the points over San Diego State.
All right, the Blazers plus 6.5 over San Diego State. And keep in mind, you know, those it's only 8 to 10 cents over at Bet Rivers if you want to buy that half a point to try and avoid that getting hooked in these games as well. Let's move on. A&M in Nebraska, the Trev Albert matchup. Hey, put the Trev Alberts leaves Nebraska to take an A&M AD job, and the committee puts them together. In both the women's and the men's. I don't know. You figure it out. But anyway, here's Nebraska now. 1.5-point favorites, and they've been sort of a feel-good story, you know, with Freddie Hoiberg, you know, back in Lincoln, getting them. We know about the home-and-away splits. They finally got a couple of road wins down the stretch, but the Aggies have been a major turnaround here, one of the bigger disappointments in college. You already said maybe take a shot at them in the South region to come out there. They're plus 3,300 at Bet Rivers to reach the Final Four. Now we're looking at this individual matchup in the first round. Aggies catching 1.5.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Texas A&M picked second in the Southeastern Conference in the SEC preseason media poll, but they disappointed for much of the season. And coming down the stretch, you know, they were on the outside looking in as far as an NCAA tournament bid. They found their stride, if you will, down the stretch. They win five in a row late season games before losing to Florida, jumped out to an 18-point first half lead this past Saturday in the SEC tournament semifinals, ultimately lose to the Gators by five. But the Aggies, this is a team, they've beat Kentucky twice, beat them not only on their home floor in College Station, but then beat them this past week on a neutral floor there in the SEC tournament, lost on a neutral court by 4 points to both Houston and Iowa State. So lost by only four to those two teams, and those two teams clearly two of this year's top tournament contenders. You mentioned Nebraska's home-road dichotomy. They have played better on the road as of recent, but 18-1 on the season on their home floor this year and only 5-9 in games played outside of Lincoln. I think kind of the wild card in this game is the reemergence of A&M's top scorer, Wade Taylor IV. He kind of endured a late season scoring slump, to put it mildly, got hot late in the year. He's coming off back-to-back big scoring games, scored 32 in the victory on Friday over Kentucky, scored 30 against Florida. So he's found his stroke. I like A&M. Plus the small points over the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, they become way, way more explosive scoring the basketball for the Aggies. That's been the big jump for them. Much, much quicker tempo for a Buzz Peterson team. You know, at his different stops, whether it's Marquette, Virginia Tech, or down at A&M, where they are comfortable, you know, slowing the tempo, they're way more up and down the court than they used to be. And they're kind of a sleeper, an undervalued over team the last so. 6-8 games on this stretch. All right, let's go to Wisconsin and James Madison. Wisconsin was really close to pulling it off had a double-digit lead in the second half against Illinois, and Shannon went nuts for the Illini that one. James Madison, is that the most wins in college basketball this year? I think it's 31. So the Dukes are in it. They avoided the tournament final against Appalachian State. They were upset by Arkansas State, and the Dukes routed the Red Wolves in the final. James Madison catching 5 right now at Bet Rivers against the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, James Madison, first of all, probably perhaps, I know they wanted a shot at him, but they lost Appalachian State, I believe, twice in the regular season. Didn't have to face them in the Sun Belt Final, as you mentioned. But this James Madison team, a veteran team, as you said, they've won 31 games this year, 13 in a row, which is the nation's longest winning streak currently. They defeated a pretty good Arkansas State by 20 points in the Sun Belt's championship game. But overall, I mean, because of their conference primarily, JMU didn't play a particularly tough schedule overall. They did make some noise on the opening night of the season, though, way back on November 6th when they strolled into East Lansing, defeated Michigan State 79-76 in overtime, a Michigan State team that started the year, if you remember, ranked 4th in the nation. JMU getting 16.5 points in that game, again, wins 79-76 in overtime. Then in their second game of the year, after winning at Michigan State, again a long time ago, but still impacts their overall resume, they defeated Kent State in double overtime. Pretty solid Kent State team there. That was on the road as well. Kent State, the heartbreak we saw this weekend, just March Madness, when they go up on Akron by 1 point in the final 10 seconds and the player thinks they're still behind and fouls the Akron player, who then makes 2 free throws to give Akron the 1 point lead. Just heartbreak there for Kent State. But Wisconsin, I think this is a team. They're the bigger team. They're undoubtedly going to, even though they're more prolific offensively than in years past, I think the Badgers will certainly attempt to turn this into a half-court game where they can exert their size advantage. JMU, on the other hand, they're going to try to speed it up, I think. They're one of the nation's leaders in steals at 8.8 steals per game, force over 14 turnovers a game. So they're going to try to use their defense to create some offense, if you will. Wisconsin only 4-10-1 this year against the spread as a single-digit favorite during the regular season. So I like JMU plus the 5.5 over Wisconsin.
All right, so the Dukes plus the points against the Badgers. And finally, this is a team that you've been looking at for quite some time. Grand Canyon and Bryce Drew in the Antelopes take care of business in Las Vegas and win the conference tournament in advance. Had a little bit of a slip-up late in the season, a couple of unusual upsets. But now they play St. Mary's. Talk about battles of tempo. You might have one here. St. Mary's, very deliberate. Man, you know, one or the other, either Gonzaga's overseeded or St. Mary's is underseeded, but they should not be on the same line where St. Mary's won the regular season championship and the tournament championship, beating them 2 out of 3. But anyway, a little carryover effect, a little reputation of favor by the committee multiple times in this one. St. Mary's, the Gales, are 5.5-point favorites over Grand Canyon.
Yeah, first of all, Jimmy, I mean, this is a St. Mary's team, make no doubt about it. That's a veteran team. They got a little bit of swag. They play slow, as you said. They've won 18 of their past 19 games, and they had to endure a late-season injury, lost their starting forward, Joshua Jefferson, back on February 10th. Really had missed a beat, but I'm going to go with Grand Canyon here. This is a Grand Canyon team in the NCAA tournament for the third time in 4 years. So they're no stranger to the big dance. Their head coach, Bryce Drew, now in his 4th year. And again, this time of year, it's hard not to remember the shot, the 3-pointer that he made to lead Valparaiso over Ole Miss back in 1998. You look at Grand Canyon's previous 2 appearances in the NCAA tournament, lost in both of those previous appearances in their first round game by 12 points on both occasions, fell to Gonzaga last year by a dozen as a 14 seed, fell to Iowa back in 2021 as a 15th seed. The Antelopes, 27-4 on the year, all 4 of their losses by 7 or fewer points. Their top victory of the season undoubtedly came back on December 5th when they defeated San Diego State 79-73 as a 2.5-point home underdog. 2 weeks later, or 2 weeks earlier, rather, Grand Canyon had played South Carolina, another tournament entry this year, very close, lost that game by 7 points to the Gamecocks in the Arizona tip-off there in Glendale. Their top player, one of the kind of the best mid-major players, I think it's safe to say, in the country, he's the WAC Player of the Year, 6'7 guard Tyon Grant Foster, leads the Antelopes just a shade under 20 points a game. I think Grand Canyon, they're experienced. I think they keep this one close against St. Mary's. Take the Lopes plus 5.5 over the Gales.
Yeah, one of those experienced players in college basketball. There are plenty of them. I mean, 6-year guys, 5th-year guys. Yeah, and you talked about Ty and Grant Foster. He's a senior as well as 4th-year for Grand Canyon. 19.5 points a game, 6 rebounds, 1.5 assists for the Antelopes. So Grand Canyon plus the 5.5 against St. Mary's. You mentioned some of those shots in the different regions at Bet Rivers right now. Baylor is plus 700 to advance through the West Regional. Auburn at plus 400 in the East. We mentioned A&M already at plus 3,300, and Tennessee plus 350 to advance to the Final Four as well. Be back next week, Sweet 16 round. For Paul Stone, I'm Jimmy Yacht. Here are the Sports Bettors Paradise. Good luck to you this week on the Bet Rivers Network.